We're going to be starting a new series of studies, and they're called the Psalms or Songs of Degrees. And these Songs of Degrees, history says, were sung by the pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem to worship God during the feast days, that annual pilgrimage from wherever they were up to Jerusalem, and they sang these songs as they went. And these songs are songs reminding them of who God is and who they are and what God's done for them. And they're just beautiful, beautiful songs. So let's begin these Psalms of Degrees, begin in Psalm 120. 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty were coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. I invite you to turn back with me now to Psalm 120. I was preparing a message on Psalm 128. And the more I studied and read about it, the more I wanted to preach from these passages. And long story short, I felt led of God to preach a series of messages from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. And these 14 chapters are called collectively Songs of Degrees or Songs of Ascent. And history says that they were sung by Jewish pilgrims on their way up to Jerusalem to partake in the feast of God and worship God in those typical sacrifices. So what's all that got to do with us? What does this ancient people journeying up to Jerusalem? That temple's no more. We know that we are the children of God. We're the truth. What's all that got to do with us? Why even go back there and read those things? Well, are we not all pilgrims? Huh? Are we not all pilgrims in this world, scattered abroad, yet called of God to worship him in some distinguished place with his elect and according to the means that he's ordained? We're just like them. We're just like them. Are we not all pilgrims from one end of the world to another, called to partake of these feasts, these typical feasts, as they were fulfilled in Christ? Except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. Should not you and I, on our way to worship, prepare our hearts in holy remembrance of what God's done for us? And that's my hope this morning, that the Lord will use these things that I prepared to fix our hearts and minds upon our Savior and upon our God. And all of this under the sweet influence of His Spirit to worship Him, to sing His praise, to leave here singing psalms and spiritual songs in our heart. I titled this first message, The Song of the Crier. Of the Crier. In my distress, David said, I cried unto the Lord. And I want to give you four things this morning, four or five things that my mind and heart need to think about when I come to worship God. And the first is this, my distress. My distress. Oh, how I pray for you that are in this place that God will send you distress. Pastor, that's a strange prayer. Pray for your distress. What an awful prayer. Well, not according to the Word of God. Distress is what prompted David to cry unto the Lord. You're not going to cry unto Him when everything's going good. Oh, you got plenty to eat and plenty nice car, income flowing in, everything going fine, all fixed up. Got saved, I can tell you the time and the place, everything. You ain't going to call on God. If distress has killed its thousands, happy contentment has slain its billions. It's happy contentment that keeps men from crying, not distress. This world offers a happy contentment to all who have it. A fine home, a happy family, a wonderful wife, a good job, sufficient bank account, healthy body, and a long, disease-free life. Happy contentment. I was telling Brian last night, I was thumbing through my Facebook and had this 105-year-old lady who just qualified for a 100-yard dash in elderly Olympics. 105 years old. You see what I'm talking about? Happy contentment. Listen to this. This is in 1 John 2, beginning with verse 15. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Not in him. He might say it is, but it's not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, it's of the world. And the world passeth away. This place that we once loved so dearly is judged of God, condemned of God. He's going to burn it up. Somebody told Brother Barnard one time, said, come look at my car. I want to show you this car. And boy, he walked around. He showed him that. It was an old Buick back in the 50s. Built like an army tank, but walked all around that car, showed him all these things. Barnard said, boy, that's a nice car. Shame the Lord's going to burn it up. Oh, my soul, the world passeth away. And the lust thereof, all those things you hungered for and wanted and worked so hard that are going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He abideth forever. David calls it my distress. His neighbors didn't have it. He tells us that later on in the song. His neighbors didn't have this distress, but he did. Used to make him mad. He said, I was angry. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, it angered me. They didn't love God. They didn't worship God. They didn't do anything. And they had perfect health and good bank account and big families. And he said, then I went into the tabernacle, went into the temple, went into the synagogue, and God showed me their end. That's what John's talking about here. 1 John 2. He talked about the end. The world passeth away, and all the lust thereof. Well, what was his distress? He cried out of his distress. What was his distress? Lying lips and a deceitful tongue. Now, nearly every writer I read applies this to those among whom we live, those in this world. And certainly as a believer, I can enter into that. I can enter into that. This world is filled with liars. And especially in the realm of religion. They lie about God, they lie about Christ, they lie about the gospel, they lie about the Spirit, they lie about the purpose of God, they lie about the present reign of Christ, and they lie about their own conversion and the proselytes that they've made. They lie, they're liars. And all those under sin, he says, with their tongues have used deceit. And how distressful it is to live among liars, to have to work with liars all day long and listen to it. But because I'm also a believer, I see a deeper form of distress here being confessed. David's first intent was for his own lips and tongue. His own lips and tongue. God have mercy on me, the sinner. Ain't that what that man said when he couldn't look up. He just looked down at the floor. Oh, God have mercy on me, the sinner. Brethren, we are what we are right now. It doesn't appear what we're going to be. But we are what we are right now by the grace of God. If you've never done such and such, thank God for His restraining grace who kept you from sinning. It wasn't you. It was God and God's providence. He probably just took away the temptation. We are what we are by the grace of God. And if He were to lift His hand from us, we'd all perish. And realizing that awful plague of sin, David cries out unto the Lord. Now listen to this. Our Lord said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. To the Pharisees, he said, O generation of vipers, how can you be evil, speak good things? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. He can't talk about good things. He don't know anything about good things. He don't have any good things. He just got sin. He's got sin. And he said, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Your heart's going to tell on you. One of the old preachers said, it'll leak out on you what you are. It'll leak out. Remembering our great distress, we cried unto the Lord. Every believer is a crier. Is he not? Israel cried unto the Lord in their bondage, and their cry came up before the Lord, and He heard them. He heard them. It says, we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and oppression and brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. We cried unto the Lord. The Canaanite woman, it says, cried unto the Lord. Oh, have mercy on my daughter. Have mercy. I can just see old blind Bartimaeus. Sitting by the wayside on that filthy old blanket. And people going by and going by and going by his whole lifetime. But on this day, the Lord of glory passed by. And he found out. And he couldn't see him. Here he sits in total darkness. He couldn't see anything. He didn't have a friend in a place. But the Lord's passing by just this once. Just this once. Oh, he said, thou son of David. Thou son of David. He cried, didn't he? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hush, Bartimaeus, this is the Lord. He's ministering here. There are things going on here. I know you can't see, but just hush. He cried out the more. You want to know why he cried out? Nobody else was. He was distressed in his blindness and darkness and stink and ignorance. And he cried out. He cried out. He wasn't satisfied. He needed something, and this was the only one that could give it to him, and he cried out. Every believer is a crier. There were two blind men when our Lord left Jericho, and he says, they cried unto the Lord, have mercy on us. You ever cried to the Lord? You ever been distressed? All brought down to see there ain't nothing in there. It's just a big black hole. Ain't nothing in there. Examine your life and it's full of sin. Examine your religious life and it's full of sin. Distress begins to set in. Doubt begins to set in. And what happened? You cry to the Lord. Huh? Any sinner, every sinner who knows his sin cries unto the Lord in his distress. And then the second thing the sinner is prompted to remember is what he asked for. He cried in his distress, what did he want? Lord, if I could just have a new car. What did he cry for? What does every sinner called of God want? Now watch this. Are you listening? Deliver my soul. He ain't interested in his bank account. He ain't interested in his marriage. He ain't interested in any. All of those things don't have anything to do with this. This has to do with my soul. Every offspring of Adam has a soul, and his soul is the seed of all that he is. Man's soul is eternal. When a person dies, his body's going to go back to the dust from which it was taken, but not his soul. His soul is going to stand before God. His soul goes up before God. Eternal death, the second death, is the soul cast into outer darkness for eternity. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world, our Lord said, and lose his soul? He said, fear not man. All man can do is destroy the body. At his worst, he'd come up there and gnash on him with his teeth and stone him to death. Like they did Stephen. But he said, you better fear God. He can destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear him. And it's only of a believer that Paul was inspired of God to write, we are not of them that draw back to perdition, but of them that believe. Now watch this. To the saving of the soul. Deliver my soul, oh God. Don't leave me to my own understanding. Don't leave me to my fickle, fallen will. Don't leave me in the disability of this condemned flesh. Deliver my soul. Save my soul. And nobody knows how helpless and hopeless he is until the Lord reveals his sin to him. Lying lips and a deceitful tongue that's all around. Go anywhere. Go to any church this morning. Anyone. Go there. I guarantee you, they're going to talk about how good you are. Talk about how good you are. lying lips and deceitful tongue. We lie to ourselves and others under the spell of Satan, who's a liar and he's the father of lies. Oh, David said, deliver my soul. And as your pastor, I may pray for your deliverance. Because I've already been made aware of mine. I know what it is. And I pray for yours. And I'm graciously brought to remember how I got here and how it came to be. I cried unto the Lord in my distress. I asked for deliverance. And that brings me to this. Here's the third thing. What is this deliverance? Deliver my soul. What kind of deliverance? Well, deliverance is the grace and mercy of God in Christ. That's deliverance. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, that fallen man in all his ways, that corrupt man, that deceitful man, Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, that's not what I was told when I was a kid. They told me the Holy Spirit was going to come down and fill me up and I'd be supercharged. I could do anything. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And truth is what sets us free. And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I am the truth, he said. He's God who cannot lie. And deliverance comes to the soul through the mind. Faith cometh by hearing. It comes, it don't stop in the head, but it comes through the head. He's going to pour it in here first, and then he'll go down here. Deliverance comes to the soul through the mind, and Paul tells us time and again, we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. This present evil world walks in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. But in Christ, all is exposed. All is condemned. And then all is justified. When that happens, I've got nothing to lie about. I've got no reason to lie. I'm a sinner. That's why I used to lie, because I knew I was a sinner, but I didn't want anybody else to know it. We lie. I have a full, free, and effectual deliverance from sin, and it's the heart that feeds the tongue. For the tongue to get deliverance, I need a clean heart. Now, let me see if I can put all this together. Turn with me over to Jeremiah. Chapter 24. Jeremiah 24. Let me show you what this new heart's all about. We're talking about deliverance from distress, deliverance of the soul by way of the mind from lying lips and deceitful tongues. Now watch this. Jeremiah 24, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I've sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. Oh, I thought they were just being cursed. No, he sent them there for their good. That's what I was trying to tell you. I'm praying for your distress. He sent them around there to get distressed. For I'll set mine eyes upon them for good, and I'll bring them again to this land, and I'll build them and not pull them down, and I'll plant them and not pluck them up. Now watch this, verse 7. And I'm going to give them a new heart to know me. Ain't that something? comes right through your head first, don't it? Then right into the heart. I'm going to give you a heart to know me. That I am the Lord. That's the first thing you're going to learn. He's Lord. He's not trying to be Lord. He's not asking you to be Lord. He's Lord. And they shall be my people. Well, maybe not. Oh, yeah. They're going to be his people. But what if? I ain't know what if. They're going to be my people, and I'm going to be their God. For they shall return unto me, now watch this, with their whole heart. And then lastly, what causes a man to journey all the way to Jerusalem to worship God? What prompts folks to drive countless miles to attend the worship of the saints? Why do they do that? Well, first of all, they weary the world. Verse 5 of our text, he said, woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Without a lengthy explanation of these places and people, let me just tell you that he was vexed dwelling among the heathen. He was out in the wilderness. Some believe that, you know, there was a time when under Saul, David was driven into the wilderness, and here he is, and he's out here with a bunch of marauding gypsies, for lack of a better word, and they lived in tents, and they were armed to the teeth. They were a warlike people, and they surrounded him. He had to live out there among them. And he wasn't at ease living beside these lying neighbors. They were savages, idolaters, promiscuous, God-hating rebels. And boy, when the occasion come to worship God, he said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go up to the house of the Lord. I'm glad. His fear was that his sojourn among them might turn into a permanent residence. What if God were to lift his hand and make me just like that? Give me a heart for this world. Give me strong delusion to believe a lie and be damned. What if God should lift his hand for me? Be careful how you think about this world. This world is fallen and condemned of God, and it's awaiting execution. They despise the truth and all who preach it. And it doesn't matter if it's your children or somebody else's. Your enemies shall be they of your own household. I'm so glad when Sunday comes. I'm just filled with expectation. Maybe God will meet with us. Maybe he'll work today. Maybe today he'll take out that stony heart and give me a heart to know him. I've got a CD. It's about wore out. My wife made it for me years ago. Great hymns of the faith in there. I just love every one of them. And as I drive along, I find myself singing. I know my heart, most of it. I find myself just singing. I'm all by myself in the truck, driving up the road. Can you and I do this? As we read these wonderful songs. I look forward to seeing every one of you. And I truly miss you when I look out there and I don't see your face. Sick of my surroundings. Sick of the world I live in. I quit watching the news. I don't even want to hear it anymore. And then the second reason he gives, he gives us first reason. He's sick of the world. He's tired of it. Just vexed his righteous soul. He wanted to go up to the house of the Lord. And the second reason he gives is that those around him, all they wanted was war. Look down there at verse 7. David said, I am for peace. I love peace. Peace with God. I like talking about peace. I like to rejoice in His peace. I love peace. Almost every epistle Paul wrote began this way. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. Peace, oh glorious peace. God has called us to peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Let the peace of God, He said, rule in your hearts. I'm peace. But when I speak, they are for war. I tell you, when I first began to get a little light on the things of God, I wanted to tell everybody. And the first person I run to was my dad. Oh, I loved him. I know he read his Bible from as far back as I can ever remember. He read it through I don't know how many times. He could tell you about those old patriarchs and he could name all their sons. He knew that Bible inside out. But he didn't know the Lord. And I run to tell him about these things, expecting him to just, wow. That ain't what I got. What I got was this. Where did you get that? He was ready to go to war. He got red in the face. I didn't know how to talk to him. I just knew what I saw. It was glorious to me. It gave peace in my heart. But boy, when I spoke, that smile went to a stare. That face turned red. Boy, from then on, anytime I come in the house, well, what about this? And he just made into me like we're going to war. I finally told him, I said, Dad, I'm not coming over here to argue. I'm coming over here because you're my dad. And I want to visit with you. I want to know that you're okay. I want to help you any way I can help you. And if talking about it makes you angry, let's quit talking about it. Let's just quit talking about it. And he stomped off. And this went on for I don't know how long. And then about a month later, maybe longer than that, he started going up with me up 13th Street listening to Henry. About a month, 6 weeks later, he come to me one day, big tears rolling down his face. He said, for whatever it matters, he said, I believe what you're telling me is right. But boy, that ain't what you get when you first tell it. Well, who's he think he is? He thinks he's the only one in the world knows anything about God. I tell you, when I go up to worship God, then I remember my distress and I remember His deliverance and how I cried unto Him and how I cry now. Deliver my soul. Deliver my soul from going down to the pit. And so we have this precious peace. May God preserve it. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore one another. Don't do that. Prepare your hearts to come here. Sit down and read a little bit. Prepare your hearts. Read the Psalms. Wonderful, wonderful promises of God. Read these things. Prepare your heart to worship. And I tell you, I look forward to seeing you. Can't see you too much. I never get weary of the children of God. May God use this for His own name's glory. Amen.